Hello and welcome to episode 857 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We're recording on the Feast of the Annunciation, a blessed feast day to you. It is Monday, April 8th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Monday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain holy perseverance. O Queen of Heaven, I, who was once a miserable slave of Lucifer, now dedicate myself to thee to be thy servant forever. I offer myself to honor thee and serve thee during my whole life. Do thou accept me and refuse me not as I should deserve. O my Mother, in thee have I placed all my hopes. From thee do I expect every grace. I bless and thank God who in his mercy has given me this confidence in thee, which I consider a pledge of my salvation. Alas, miserable wretch that I am, I have hitherto fallen because I have not had recourse to thee. I now hope that, through the merits of Jesus Christ and thy prayers, I have obtained pardon. But I may again lose divine grace. The danger is not past. My enemies do not sleep. How many new temptations have I still to conquer? Ah, my most sweet lady, protect me and permit me not again to become their slave. Help me at all times. I know that thou wilt help me and that with thy help I shall conquer if I recommend myself to thee. But this is what I fear. I fear that in time of danger I may neglect to call upon thee and thus be lost. I ask thee then for this grace. Obtain that in the assaults of hell I may always have recourse to thee, saying, Mary, help me, my mother, permit me not to lose my God. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. So a happy Feast of the Annunciation. We're going to look at an article by that same title from the Fatima Center. A lot of great stuff there, located at Fatima.org. And tomorrow we will continue going through the Fatima Crusader Spring 2024 edition. A blessed feast of the Annunciation of the Blessed Virgin Mary to you. Editor's note, and I believe the editor of the Fatima Center is Mr. David Rodriguez. He says, this year, the Feast of the Annunciation, normally celebrated on March 25th, has been transferred by the Church from Monday in Holy Week to April 8th, the first available liturgical date. On this great feast of the Incarnation, 9 months prior to Christmas Day, we commemorate that blessed day on which, at the message of an angel, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, uniting within himself in the womb of the Blessed Virgin, our human nature with his divine nature. On this sacred day, the Church equally proclaims the humility of God the Son and the greatness and glory of Mary, the Mother of God, our co-redemptrix, in whose virginal womb the Son of God became the Son of Man. May her prayers preserve us. The Annunciation by Father L.C. Filion. That's F-I-L-L-I-O-N. The angel entered, says the Greek text, and at once saluted Mary with deep respect, using the ancient Oriental formula, peace to thee, which is still the practice among Jews and Arabs. Then, in a few words of singular force, he indicated to what a degree the August Virgin was already favored by God. Thou art full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But heaven had in reserve for her a privilege that explains and marvelously surpassed all the favors of the past. The angel's words of praise greatly troubled Mary. The humble maiden was perplexed and wondered what might be the aim and purport of such a salutation. The heavenly messenger made haste to reassure her, describing in solemn language befitting the subject the sublime part she was called upon to take in the work of redemption. Calling her by name, with mingled familiarity and kindliness, he said to her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David his father, and he shall reign in the house of Jacob forever. For any Jew familiar as Mary was with the Old Testament oracles, these words were as clear as day, for they contained a popular description of the Messiah, a resume of the most famous messianic prophecies. The child that the angel promised to Mary was to possess all the titles and to fulfill all the ministries attributed by God and public opinion to the impatiently awaited liberator. This portrait bore too striking a likeness not to be at once recognized, and the Blessed Virgin could not have understood better had Gabriel confined himself to saying, "God destines you to become the mother of Christ." To become the mother of the Messiah. Any other Jewish maiden would certainly have accepted this distinguished honor without the slightest hesitation, with inexpressible joy. Mary's heart must have thrilled with joy when she comprehended the divine proposal, and yet this most prudent virgin, instead of giving her consent at once, thought it behooved her to ask the angel for an explanation. "How shall this be done?" Then, to justify her question, she adds, "Because I know not man." In fact, while the angel's language was very clear in its ensemble and had alluded in its first words to Isaiah's prophecy of the Virgin Mother, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel," it had not explained the wonderful manner of the privilege offered to Mary. She was not certain that the birth of the child would be absolutely supernatural, but she had a very legitimate and grave reason for questioning the heavenly messenger on this point. And that reason is contained in the words, "I know not man." Inasmuch as, in the very first lines of the account, Mary is presented to us as the betrothed wife of Joseph, these words can, in all reason, have only one sense. They conclusively suppose that, under the inspiration of heaven and in agreement with Saint Joseph, Mary had consecrated her virginity to God by an irrevocable vow. Otherwise, her question would be meaningless. Why should she ask with astonishment how she was to become a mother if she married like others to have children? Since the time of the fathers, such was always been the Catholic interpretation of these words that contained the touching avowal of an ideally pure soul. The angel Gabriel hastens to furnish the enlightenment that Mary requested. After the manner of the Hebrews in solemn circumstances, he does so in rhythmic cadence language of great power and delicate beauty. "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee, and therefore also the Holy, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God." These words clearly signify that this child will be born in a manner altogether supernatural. The Holy Ghost himself will perform this prodigy, in which the flesh will have no part. It is therefore not from any corrupt or vitiated source, but from an absolutely pure source that will come the germ of life, which will enable Mary to become a mother while preserving her virginity. The angel could not have indicated to Mary in more exact and discreet terms the mode of her maternity, which absolutely excluded all human cooperation. Since it is under such conditions that Mary is to become a mother, without any infringement upon her vow, she can accept heaven's proposal unhesitatingly. Not having doubted the angel's words for a single moment, she did not ask for any sign or guarantee of his mission, but he spontaneously offers an undeniable proof of his truthfulness. It consists of a circumstantial announcement of another marvelous birth, although of a very different order, which would precede that of the Messiah. "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her that is called barren, because no word shall be impossible with God." The Lord is almighty. The angel could not close his message more effectively than by this incontestable principle with which, as with their supreme cause, he connects the two miraculous births. Gabriel's mission is ended. He is now silent and waits for Mary's reply in an attitude of profound respect. The proposal which God deigned to make to the Virgin of Nazareth by his messenger was not, on his part, a command that had to be accepted absolutely. Even for a role so lofty, the Most High would not compel the will of his creature. This is why the angel waits. What a solemn moment. The world, from its creation, had never known the like. As St. Augustine declares with eloquent piety, O Blessed Mary, the entire world, enslaved by Satan, awaits your consent. Virgin, delay not. Make haste to answer the messenger from heaven. Reassured, Mary gives her consent in words which are as simple as they are sublime. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done to me according to thy word. This is the language of faith, of obedience ready for any sacrifice, of unconditional compliance. Is it not the essential function of a slave to do his master's bidding in all things? It is likely that Mary foresaw the grievous suffering in which her consent would entail her, especially from the suspicions that would encompass her, foremost on the part of her husband, without her being able to defend herself against them. Yet her acceptance was unconditional. She left everything to Providence by uttering her generous fiat. And the angel departed from her. With this quiet remark closes the account of a delightful scene of capital importance for the salvation of mankind. And it cannot be doubted that the adorable mystery of the incarnation was accomplished as soon as Gabriel departed. What a blessed day, my friends. I was listening to Father David Nix the other day. He's in Greece. Pray for him on his travels. Wonderful traditional Catholic priest. Padre Peregrino is his nickname. Check out his stuff, his blog, his podcasts. He does a lot of great work. And he was talking about the Annunciation and what an incredibly important feast this is. You have a woman, the perfect woman, God's masterpiece, cooperating with God in allowing the incarnation to take place. It's very important. Father Filion says there that, in essence, we're not robots. We're not compelled to do anything. We have free will. Even the Blessed Mother, she could have said no. God's not going to force her to do anything. But being the perfect woman, being God's masterpiece, knowing the scriptures intimately, she understands here what's taking place. And when she asks for clarification to make sure how this is going to come about, then she knows. Yes, she gives her fiat, absolutely, because she's totally consumed with God. She's totally in love with God. Like Father Ripperger says, being utterly consumed with God, she gives her consent completely and utterly and gives herself over to the Lord's plan. We have to have this mentality as well. We have to give our fiat to God in all things, to say yes to him, to say yes to living a virtuous life, to say no to sin, to say no to the temptations that come from the world, the flesh, and the devil. So this is a very blessed day, Father Nick saying, the second most important feast day in the history of the church, behind Easter. What a glorious day. And it also comes in this year in 2024 on the day of a solar eclipse. So there's a natural wonder taking place, but let's not forget the supernatural wonder of the Annunciation and the Incarnation. Praise be Jesus Christ, now and forever. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Let us conclude, friends, by first mentioning the five elements of the First Saturday Devotion. I think I'm going to continue to mention this daily on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast because it's so important. This is from the Fatima Center. Help us present Our Lady with a spiritual bouquet of 100,000 First Saturdays by the 100th anniversary of her request of this devotion. December 10, 2025. I've signed up for this myself. I encourage you to do it and act on it. Actually do it. To join the challenge, please visit www.fatima.org. 100 by 100. That's www.fatima.org/100by100. And the five elements of the first Saturday devotion: one, make a good confession within 8 days before or after the first Saturday. Two, receive Holy Communion. Three, pray 5 decades of the Rosary. Four, keep Our Lady company for 15 additional minutes while meditating on the mysteries of the Rosary. And five, offer each of the above acts in reparation for the blasphemies and offenses committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Let's also mention Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune in to episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. RPM is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. We had to guess as to what all her wants and needs are, but no more, thanks to God's grace. Her hard work, the hard work of her family, breaking through to open communication via RPM. We know that she's a comprehensive genius who composes music, poetry, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. RPM has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf, or Braille was in terms of their being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. Please get the word out there. Communication is a human right. Can you imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate with your friends and family? No one should have to live that way. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.